I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys. That was Tim Sobey. He's always fun to talk to. We didn't even scratch the surface on what that guy knows about frozen meat and what to do with it. But his comment, Bob, I mean, when we talked about, you know, cut it off and save it, try to save it, or cook it for the dog, one of the two, I think he took option B, cook it for the dog. He didn't say throw it away because it's unedible. He just said you're not going to want to eat it if you're looking for the flavor.
Right.
So that freezer burn is real. And it happens in your refrigerator that is frost-free.
Yeah, and, you know, bacon has gotten ridiculously expensive.
Right.
So I can see why he would talk about the potential for freezer. But, you know, I used to go to Menards, and they have a little food section in the back.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would have crazy, stupid, cheap meat frozen. And I would get these big, fat packs of Oscar Mayer bacon for like $4.
Yeah.
They're the 22-ounce packs. And I would buy 10 of them and throw them in the freezer, and I never noticed them tasting terrible.
Yeah.
But we go through bacon in our house like it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And you're supposed to be empty nesters now, but the nest is open and the seagulls keep flying back.
It's wonderful. Now, I'm batching it this weekend, by the way.
Speaking of a full house. Yeah. But I'm... Yeah.
All the girls in our family went out to the East Coast to go to a wedding. So I had to work. I couldn't go.
Sure.
Darn it.
Right.
Had to stay here.
Yeah. Your brother-in-laws aren't all coming over to have a bacon fest?
No, they're all at the wedding.
Oh.
So, we'll just leave that one alone.
Right.
Don't want to hurt any feelings.
No, there aren't any to hurt.
No,
it's all about bacon.
But we gave them a gift, and I sent the beauty of our family out there. So
yeah,
that's way better than sending us ugly guys out there.
Yep, I get it. But frozen game in your, now game, venison's probably one of the biggest ones that you'll find in there.
I think of you, and you love to shoot pheasant, and you always have some pheasant and duck in your freezer.
Right.
I mean, what have you run across when you cleaned out that coffin in your garage? What'd you find in there?
Didn't find any duck, but there were a couple pheasants in there, and they had been in there since like early January is all, because I went on a preserve hunt.
Oh.
And brought some home from there. But what we had done with those is we had just breasted them out. But they're skinless, boneless pheasant breast is what they are. So they weren't in there too long. But when I use those, I use them the same as you would as a chicken breast. And honestly, they're a little different flavor, but not a tremendous amount.
No, they're good.
So, but what I would do is take those, and I'm on a kebab kick right now because I just got done catering a party with a bunch of them. But I did a piece of the pheasant, a piece of white onion, another piece of pheasant, a piece of bell pepper, those little itty-bitty bell peppers that you can do, and a third piece. And then I put them on the grill and, again, just glaze them with something, a light, sweeter barbecue sauce after they've cooked. You know, you can tell it turns color, right? All fowl goes on pink and it turns white when it's done cooking. So do it on one side, flip it over. When I do it on the other, that's when I glaze it, when the cook side is up and the raw side is down. I'm cooking that second side of that. And they don't take long because there again, I think the key to a kebab, and I'm getting off track here, I realize, but is you cut the protein in the same size. You don't want big chunks of breast and little.
Not a lot of variants.
Because they cook uneven then, and you'll get some that are overcooked. It's really important to use the same size of a cut. Doesn't matter what it is, your cut, whatever you want to do. But try to make them all the same size, and then your kebabs will get done perfectly.
See, I think a lot of this freezer meat, it's a good opportunity to get your Instapot out or something that's a bit of a pressure cooker and stew it. I mean, tenderize it, especially like if you've got venison roasts. Those machines are wonderful. I don't know whoever came up with the automatic pressure cooker, but God bless you because you've made my life a lot easier.
Yeah.
There's all those pieces of meat, like look at a rump roast.
Right.
Kind of a worthless piece of meat, in my opinion. I don't even...
Well, it's the biggest working muscle in an animal. You know, everything drives from the back and as far as where the power comes from. So that rump roast is a muscle that gets used more than any. They tend to be a little bit tough. Rather than a piece of tenderloin. That's all I'm saying is just one of those, a strong working muscle can be a little more chewy.
Yeah, there's just no fat on it.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
No marbling. Well, so for pheasant, I think you could do the same process, only I might look towards a soup.
Yeah. Yep, because again, you want moisture in it. You want it to be tender.
You could go an Asian flair with that thing for like a hot and sour using your pheasant. I mean, there's just so many uses. You can take these proteins out, and you might say, yeah, it's too dry for me to grill, or yeah, it's kind of old, and I know it's not going to be up to par. But by the time you put it in a stew or a soup, heck, season it up and brown it, make tacos out of it.
Right. Yep. You can make dips too, like a big buffalo chicken dip or a buffalo pheasant dip.
I heard you're good at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really good at making the dip, but I had a little catastrophe and lost a batch.
Well, that's the problem with that old smoker, is it does have so much black garp junk loaded up that when you bang it, we've ruined a lot of dishes.
Yeah,
on that thing.
Right. So to clarify, at a catering event, this is one of the, you know, learn your lesson
horror stories.
Right. Our smoker has four racks in it, and you pull a door up, and it's heavy. It's steel. It maybe weighs 20 pounds. I mean, it's no big deal, but it's a door you got to pull up. I had it in my hand, and a gust of wind blew, and it blew it out of my hand, and it came down and slammed shut. And it disrupted a bunch of patina inside the smoker, which rained into my food, and everything that was on there got ruined.
And that's the way it ended.
Right. So, you know, those are the things that happen.
Anybody with a smoker's probably gone through that, haven't they?
Well, and ours is a door up above, yeah.
They all have doors, and think of the pellet smokers that are out there. I bet you guys are experiencing that for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they just started smoking because somebody bought them a pellet grill.
Right.
And now they're saying, holy cow, it can rain black from the
right.
top of this.
And let me tell you about the pellet grill, because I used mine to smoke the chicken for the buffalo chicken dip. And the pellet dust that comes off of there, I lost three chicken breasts and threw them away because the wind was blowing a little bit when I was doing it. And usually that, you know, pellet creates ash, and there's a blower over top of your firebox in your pellet grill. So it blows that, the pellets come down.
That's a great point. They
go through the exhaust because it's micro dust.
It's in the air.
it's in the air. But I had wind that was pushing it back in, and there I opened my, because you don't look all the time when you're smoking, right? You know it's in there, and I had a probe in there to tell when it was done. I open it up. And because of the wind, everything is dusty.
Well, and that and I'm just like, validates several of the things we constantly say here. One thing I constantly say is beware of the pellet grill, because you're going to get a lot of ash. But more importantly, have yourself a really great grilling space covered and have a spot where you can operate that thing. I know what you did. You kept yours in your garage, and you just pulled it out in front of it to do your smoking.
Right.
And there's a lesson there. So if that's what you're doing, you might want to have some walls around that thing, because the same thing's going to happen to you. Learn from Job.
Yep. And it's funny, because I had my privacy fence on one side and the garage behind it. I was in the driveway, but I did. I just rolled it out of the garage.
It's still a big open area.
The wind was swirling right around that corner from the direction it came.
You created a twister.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk, we teach, we advise, and then we screw up.
And we get burnt.
Right. Yeah. That's how this
it
works.
It can happen to you, too.
Right. Yeah. So don't feel bad. But
I bet Conrad's even done some things like that from time to time when he's out mastering the hibachi.
No, he's, you know, when he's out watching his wife grill.
Ouch. Ouch. Wow.
On the porch.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a great memory.
I have so many jokes.
Sat too close to the smoker, my beer got warm.
Blew his robe up.
Oh, we got to be nice to Conrad. It's all good. But anyway, so there's all kinds of goodies out in that conversation, but it was... It's just, you know, you never know. You live and learn every day. Things happen. You think you know what you're doing, and then all of a sudden, I had those two things happen and lost a bunch of product. So what do you do?
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So basically, we've covered a lot of frozen stuff. I can tell you I'm picking up a cow in a week.
Oh, really?
And I still have some left, so I will be definitely hosting some pretty big eats to get rid of a bunch of this food right now. But yeah, once it goes over the 1 year mark, I just really want to blow it out.
Right. Cook it
up. So this year I'm only keeping a quarter of that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the
You going to keep
thing.
Any of the liver?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the heart.
Yeah, right. Good for you, man.
Yep, the heart's good for Coney's.
Yeah, exactly.
And the liver's good for my daughter's dog.
Right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And get out there and fire up a grill. It's going to be beautiful today and again tomorrow. And it's going to get cold next week, but that'll come back too. So take care. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood.
You can't say that.
I did.